with your spirit. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Are there any historians among us? Anybody a history buff? Oh, you are, Morgan. I'm going to throw a date at you then. There will be wars and rumors of wars, Jesus says. So much of history is made up of wars, so that's a hint. Is the world coming to an end? Well, my mother used to say during World War II, when she was a girl, it certainly seemed that way. And that was the war after World War I, the war to end all wars. We go back even further than that to June 18th, 1815. I wouldn't know this except for I prepared this homily. June 18th, 1815? Huh? Waterloo. Yes, the Battle of Waterloo. The tyrant Napoleon was one battle away from dominating the map of Europe and a good part of Asia. All that stood between him and that was this Belgian field and the forces of General Wellington of Britain. Now, in those days, they didn't have cable network news, they didn't have the internet. When you wanted to get news as fast as possible from the battlefield, people looked up at high structures like this beautiful church or a palace. In this instance, it was Winchester Cathedral in the countryside in England. And lights were shown like Morse code, system of semaphore signals, and they were decoded, and that's how they got the news. So as the Battle of Waterloo raged on a distant Belgian field, people around the countryside looked up, and they decoded the flashes, and they decoded two words. Wellington defeated. Wellington defeated. And then one of those famous British fogs rolled in. And that was so apropos. because that's what was happening to the hearts and souls of the British people. They went into grief. Their way of life, their culture, the world as they knew it, was coming to an end, or so they thought. Later, when the fog lifted, they could see from the top of the cathedral lights flashing again. This was the same message, but this time they could see the whole message. It was four words, not two. And the complete message was, Wellington defeated the enemy. Wellington defeated the enemy, of course, Napoleon and France. And grief turned into joy, defeat turned into victory. And I share that story now, as I do from time to time at funerals. Because when we lose a loved one, that's where we're at. Wellington defeated. We are defeated. We're deflated. We're in grief. But for those of us with faith, who see through the eyes of faith, we know that the feelings of grief are not to be trusted. We know that the feeling of defeat is a lie. That is why we Christians can look at the cross. Imagine somebody who's never seen the cross or knows anything about the Christian religion coming in and looking at that. What's that, they would ask us. We would say, that's our ultimate emblem of hope and love. And they would say, what? We look at that through the eyes of faith, and we see beyond the seeming defeat of the crucifixion and death of Good Friday to the certainty of Christ's victory and of the empty tomb and the resurrection of Easter Sunday. He took all the stuff that came into the world because of our willful disobedience to Him. Division, war, disease, suffering, sin, and death itself. He nailed it to the cross, He buried it in the tomb, and when He came out of the tomb, He said, I have won. And you can share in my ultimate victory. If you listen to me, let me love you, love one another, keep my commandments, keep the faith. You know, Mahatma Gandhi, little Indian man, without shooting a gun or raising a fist to anyone, toppled the British Empire when Wit was the oppressor back in the middle of the 20th century. He did it by leading passive resistance, or he wouldn't say it was passive resistance, he would say non-cooperation with evil. And he did it by doing things like going on hunger strikes and encouraging the people to strike and to not cooperate with the invaders, the oppressive British. And if you've ever seen the movie Gandhi, when he's going through this hunger strike and he hasn't eaten in weeks and he's lying on his side and all he'll allow himself to have is some lemon juice and things don't look like they're going anywhere in the fight with the British, he was asked, how can you keep hope? And he answered, when I'm tempted to despair, to give up hope, I remember this. There have always been tyrants, and at times they seem invincible, but sooner or later, every single one of them has fallen. And when I think of that, I try to surrender to God and do it His way. So those of us who are in grief over the loss of a loved one are suffering from that tyranny. But guess what? The good news is, Jesus defeated the enemy, and we share in that victory. His mercy is boundless. If we keep the faith and spread it around, then we win. And if some of us have died in a state where we need ongoing prayers of those of us who are here and the saints in heaven, well, the church is united to do just that. And that is why we pray for the dead and their eternal rest. The mercy of God is such that God takes our prayers, and if our faithful departed need to be purified and prepared to enter the fullness of the bliss of heaven, then we assist with that process. And we're going to do that in a very, very powerful way right now. So I would ask the altar server, who is assigned to do this, to go to the place where the candles are located. As we call upon the names of our beloved dead and remember our beloved loved ones who have passed away, we pray to our almighty and loving God that he may look at them with mercy and embrace them in his eternal kingdom. We will call the name of each dearly departed, a relative or friend present, or lacking that, any representative who would choose to come forward. And they will receive a candle and place it on the stand. And at the end of the Mass, you may come up and take that candle home.